Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with Arvind Kumar, the co-founder of Arcana Network, a company working to make Web3 resilient and user-friendly. And Mr. Kumar, thanks for joining us here today.
It's my pleasure, Eric. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, you're certainly more than welcome. Our pleasure to have you on to speak with us about Web3. So for starters, if you would, what are some key barriers to Web3 adoption? Let's start there.
Oh, that's a great question. I think this is a question that has been around for quite a long time. To start off with, the first and the most common one that everyone leans towards is the usability, right? Of how different it is from using traditional infrastructure, and that deters a lot of users. I'll dive in a bit about how this manifests in the day-to-day use cases. The other larger one is around use cases. It is currently limited to scenarios where transaction costs are much lower than the value being generated. To give an example, would a view or a like, say on a social media post, ever be financially feasible to be on chain, right? So then you're left with use cases where the value being generated needs to be higher than the cost of doing that transaction on chain. So that limits the kind of use cases that you can build out. The third, in my opinion, is the diversity of best practices that are currently existing in the ecosystem, which is typical for any nascent industry. What I mean by that is, while there are standards, everyone tries to simplify that standard according to their design philosophies, right? So a user is not yet used to some of the common methods to interact with certain use cases. For example, in the traditional world, opening up a bank account is largely similar across multiple banks. Similar for credit cards or purchasing a house, at least within a country, right? Versus if you take examples of using a DeFi app, everyone has their own implementation of how to, say, stake, offer liquidity, swap, using a bridge, etc. Right? And this can be very tough for a user to have to constantly keep relearning how to use the same use case across different providers. And the last one is, and this is the most common one that my close friends and family who are not into Web3 frequently report, is the fear of being able to trust a particular app, right? And worrying, will I get scammed? Is this a genuine actor or is this fraudulent? Am I interacting with a safe contract? Is this promise or the claim that they're making legitimate, or is it too good to be true? Because sometimes in Web3, legitimate claims do sound too good to be true, right? Because everyone paints the larger vision. And all of this really hinders in Web3 going mainstream at the moment. But we are seeing progress being made there as well.
I really do appreciate your feedback and input on key barriers to Web3 adoption. Thanks so much for that. Now, how is simplicity key for new users and businesses in encouraging adoption?
Yeah, this is something that we have spent quite a bit of our time. So definitely love to answer this. Of all the previous barriers that I mentioned, the first step that we need to solve is usability, because only after someone tries out the benefits of a particular use case, can you then convince them of the other risks that are involved, right? And the first friction to using this is onboarding. And you need to make this as simple as possible, make it very cognitively similar to what they've already used to, right? If you're used to email and password, it needs to be a similar flow. If you're used to KYCing in a certain flow with the traditional infrastructure, you need to also be able to KYC in a similar manner in Web3. The reason is, in the early days, if the benefit is far superior to friction, tons of users and early adopters will try it out. But that is a small percentage. To go beyond early adopters, you need to simplify and make sure that the experience is what they're already used to, so that a larger number of people can try out your app and then continue using it beyond that, right? And this goes for both users and businesses, because especially on the business end, who are more risk averse, you need to make it a no-brainer for them to evaluate risks and sell to senior leadership and get stakeholder buy-in. And if it sounds too complex, even at the first interaction, they're less likely to get the value proposition and then further proceed to a pilot. And even if you launch an app and users are finding it hard to use, that might lose the confidence of the senior leadership and it might never see, never go live to market.
Now, Mr. Kumar, let's say a business has already decided to adopt Web3. What could they expect as far as barriers when adopting Web3?
That's a great question, primarily because that's the first use case that was popularized back in 2018, 2019, when Hyperledger and tons of other blockchains came up that, you know, enterprise adoption will be key. But we have seen that that's not as easy. There are about four things I can think of when it comes to that. The most popular one is regulation. When you think of regulation, you think uncertainty, but there are ways to get around it. But even more than uncertainty, it is the reality of how laws are set up today that are not Web3 friendly, right? To give a couple of examples, if you're building a product, it has to be decentralized. To be able to make something decentralized, you need tokens, right? Then you have tokens on your cap table or balance sheet. If you have to use decentralized services, you need to pay in tokens. How do you manage holding tokens in your as one of your, some of your assets to pay for services that could fluctuate in price? So you don't know how much you'll end up paying for a service that used to be predictable, say on Amazon or Google Cloud. The other is legal enforcement, right? Businesses love being able to minimize risk and having a counterparty that will take on the risk in case if what they have planned out don't pan, right? So how do you then enforce SLAs and contracts when the other party is a node that's cryptographically running the instructions that you give them? Who do you hold accountable for any risks, systemic risks that might come up? And this is on the regulation front. And the other issues are the lack of non-native crypto use cases. Most are currently DeFi and NFT related. So they've tried to make blockchain as a fundamental technology that doesn't touch crypto, but we have seen that that hasn't worked out very well. So being able to still infuse crypto into your use cases, but also complying with your strategy and regulatory compliance is another barrier. The last one is more a cultural issue, is most teams are risk averse because you have a lot more at stake than exploring a new opportunity. But this is not limited to Web3, right? We see it even with Web2, where businesses typically don't take bets and build risky products that could perhaps harm their brand. And so this is understandable.
Mr. Kumar, really do appreciate all the information and insight shared per your expertise. We're speaking with Mr. Arvind Kumar, the co-founder of Arcana Network, a company working to make Web3 resilient and user-friendly. He's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of VPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, also, what benefits can business leaders expect by integrating with Web3 technology?
So one of the biggest barriers that I'd earlier mentioned is onboarding. And that's exactly what we solve. We have an app-specific chain that abstracts away the complexities of a blockchain and gives developers easy-to-use SDKs to simplify user onboarding. The two products that that enterprises and businesses currently find value in is one are Arcana Auth, where you can create wallets for users with just their email ID. And it's a similar experience to logging with any other Web2 app. So you can log in with Twitter, Twitch, Google, Discord, GitHub, or just your email ID. And we generate a non-custodial wallet, so the user doesn't have to face the friction of installing wallets, backing up their private key, securely storing their seed phrases, etc. And this is an embedded wallet that plugs into your app, and users can start interacting with your Web3 app within seconds as opposed to minutes or hours. Right? And the wallet comes with an inbuilt on-ramp, cashless transactions, so they don't have to pay gas fees to send transactions to the app. And this we have seen improve conversion rates by up to 90%, where you get almost 2x the number of users you would have gotten without adding a social login options to your app. The second is our NFT checkout. Now, NFTs are very popular enterprise use cases, but they also face the same issues of onboarding. And even if you're onboarded, you then need to KYC to be able to buy crypto or tokens to purchase these NFTs, at least if you want it to be on-chain. What our NFT checkout does is it makes it a very commerce-first experience where the user just has to enter their email ID, credit card details. And behind the scenes, we handle the complexity of creating a wallet for them, on-ramping it from fiat to crypto, then paying the business or the developer, and then transferring the asset to their wallet and sending them an email saying, hey, you've just bought this NFT. Right? So it makes a lot of the loyalty programs and creator marketplaces that are experimenting with NFTs very easy to onboard users, where it's buying anything from any other e-commerce site.
Hey, sounds pretty awesome to me, and some great details shared. Good stuff for sure. Now, how can enterprise companies utilize Arcana, and what are the benefits do they see as well?
Yeah, so the NFTs are typically for both enterprise and regular businesses. But Auth has a specific use case for enterprise where even though our wallets are non-custodial, we do allow white labeling where they could build out Web3 use cases that need private keys to sign messages. And they don't want to expose wallets and public keys and private keys to end users. So they can add their own skin on top of this SDK. So the user just logs in and then they click on buttons like confirm, cancel, approve, etc. And behind the scenes, they're actually using their public and private keys to sign messages and approve actions. So tomorrow you have traceability of who did what actions behind the scenes, right? And then this can then be used by your employees, by your customers, by your partners, and make increasing the chances of, like, say, your pilots being successful. So white-labeled onboarding is more relevant for enterprises. And the fact that for both of these use cases, you do not have to hold tokens. You can pay with a regular fiat helps also avoid the complexity of how do we hold tokens to pay for the service provider. So it's a very SaaS-like user experience.
Mr. Kumar, we can't thank you enough for taking a moment to be with us here today on behalf of Arcana Network and all the information and insight shared here today on Web3 technology. Before you go, in conclusion, is there any closing thoughts, a final word, or anything else you'd like to share, maybe even a final tip as we conclude today?
Absolutely. I think the biggest one comes from our personal experience of building in the space for about 4 to 5 years now. So if anyone is building a Web3 product, the fundamentals of building any other product applies here as well, right? Things such as focusing first on product market fit, distribution, acquisition cost, retention, et cetera, before thinking how tokens will fit in. Tokens can definitely fuel your growth, but can also create a lot of noise in early days when you're trying to validate your idea, right? For example, at Arcana, we are just doing our token sale and token launch in November this year in 2023. But we have been building and selling for the past 2 years before we introduced the token. And this really allowed us to focus on our customers and growth and driving value than worrying about tokens distribution and launch and the complexities that come with setting that up. So this is the advice I would give to anybody thinking about building in the space at the moment, especially in these market conditions.
Well, we certainly appreciate those concluding remarks and, again, for joining us. If listeners wanted to get more information on Arcana Network or to be in touch, where's the best place online to do so?
Yeah, we are available on arcana.network, ARCANA.network. The founders are very public. You can DM us on Twitter, hop on our Telegram, and we'll directly reach out to you. Or I'm also available on arvind@arcana.network.
Easy enough, and of course, you can find this link within the show notes of this broadcast for your convenience. Mr. Kumar, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for the great interview, Eric.
And thank you. Really do appreciate you joining us. We've been speaking with Arvind Kumar, the co-founder of Arcana Network, a company working to make Web3 resilient and also user-friendly. And for all the details, simply visit arcana.com. Network. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.